Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. All right, everybody, welcome back. I am joined live today by Dr. Lindsay McCaslin. Am I saying that right?
You are saying it perfect.
From Tampa, Florida.
Yes.
Am I correct in saying Tampa?
Tampa, yes.
You actually live in Tampa?
No, I live in Odessa.
See, that's what I'm saying. See, I can't say you're from Tampa, Florida then. From Odessa, Florida.
Which is 10 miles north of Tampa. So which you is can 10 pretty miles, much say
the Tampa, Tampa area. I got you. Well, we got to be having a little fun, okay. You know. And Lindsay's here at one of our sleep apnea programs. Second time in a couple of months, which is good. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate the support. And we were having a conversation. I took her out for dinner with her and assistant.
The world's best dinner.
Listen, you'll remember that, correct?
100%.
Like, listen, if I took you to a nice steakhouse, it would have probably been blah, right?
I would have been Mina Barsoom.
Right. You would have, but you're just seeing, it would have been no big deal, right?
You're right.
But you'll remember our dinner forever.
The Philly Where do Cheese we go? Steak truck.
Food truck in the parking lot of a gas station
was top notch.
With the Yankee dude that was mean to me selling Philly cheesesteaks.
You were kind of mean to him at first.
But of course, you know.
I mean, you had to be.
You have to be because he's from Philly. You got to test him out, right?
100%.
So we had a Philly cheesesteak, and then we went and had a great dessert place, though, by the way.
Great dessert. It wasn't our birthdays, but.
Everybody else's birthday there, right?
Everybody else's.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I love. I love getting to meet new people. Having repeat people, because then it gets, you know, the first time you're not so comfortable maybe going to dinner and stuff, but the second time I love going out to dinner with people. They let me know they're coming early. That's awesome. So it's enjoyable. So, well, I want to talk about your practice story. So, some brief questions, then I'm gonna turn it over to you. Okay. Briefly, how'd you become a dentist? How and why? How'd you go? What'd you figure out that you were going to do out of dental school, and where are you at now?
So at 12 years old, I was either going to be a dentist or a veterinarian.
Like why?
And I love smiles, teeth, mm-hmm. but I also love animals. Okay. And so it was a 50-50 whenever I became a freshman in college. I became allergic to all cats, most dogs. And so dentistry was my other option.
I'm allergic to people.
I could be allergic to people now, too. But so I switched my, well, I didn't really have to switch my major, but I still had the same major and graduated from dental school and was able to go to University of Kentucky. I graduated from University of Kentucky in 2006.
Dental school in 2006.
Yep.
Okay.
Started my practice as a solo partnership with my uncle down in Florida. That's how I ended up in
So did
Florida.
You know that in dental school that that's what you wanted to do?
100%.
From the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I step foot on the University of Kentucky's campus, I knew that Florida was where I was going.
With your uncle?
Yes. And even the dean let me out early to take early boards to get to Florida so I could graduate and actually practice. So it was one of those things that we had talked about it. He had a great practice. He was dentist number 16 in the county. Okay. Was with two other partners. And basically he said, I've got a great practice, you know, let's do this. I'll give you a chair. You can share hygienist, office manager, team basically and start your own practice.
Okay.
So I went there.
So you weren't really an associate?
I was not really an associate.
Where'd you get patients from? You stole his?
He thought I was going to steal his, but I didn't. Okay. No, I was out into everything. So okay. Junior Service League, chamber, anything you
feet on the ground.
100% being on the ground, you know. And so I worked hard to build my practice, and my goal was to own my own practice in 5 years. Okay. And after about 4 years or so, we were kind of having a family dinner, and the bubble burst in Florida. Right around 2007.
Okay,
economic dynamics. And so we were around dinner table, and he said something about he wasn't ready to retire. And I was kind of like, well, my goal is in 5 years.
You wanted to buy his practice.
I did originally, or wanted to buy into his practice. Being in the community too, it wasn't necessarily the community that I felt like it was going to be, or it had been for the last 30 years for him.
Right.
That I felt like there was something more out there. And so I made a tough decision and went to him and said, I think I need to go out on my own.
But you were technically on your own already in a way, right?
I was.
You were just renting space in a way.
Basically, yeah, I was. Okay. I was. And, you know, we had that last year had actually come up with the actual associate agreement type of thing. Okay. So that dynamic kind of changed, and that's fine. You know, things happen, and it should have been done in the very beginning, but
we live and learn.
My practice was growing. Exactly. And so,
he was probably angry you were beating him maybe, right?
Maybe a little. Maybe we won't let him know that though.
He probably doesn't listen to podcasts.
You're probably right. Yeah. So, I went up to him and I said, you know, financially, I feel like I need to own my own practice. My goals are, I want to own my own practice. I still love my practice here. I think I can work 3 days here, and I want to work 3 days in my own practice. And so I worked 6 days a week for 4 years.
Okay. So in different county?
Yes, okay. It was different county.
So what about the patients you had inside of your space share office?
Right. So about 50% of those patients, just because of timing. Mm-hmm. So I built my practice on evening hours and weekends.
Okay.
So I worked 3 Saturdays a month. And then did 9 to 7, 2 days, whether it was Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, it was 9 to 7. And
most people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah. But I tell you, it's the exact thing that grew my practice. 100%. 100%. That's what grew my practice.
Is being available.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry to sidebar here.
No,
okay?
Of course.
I tell people that that we need to learn from the DSOs. You know, and DSOs make their living by being convenient. Okay. You can go to McDonald's 24/7.
Yep.
Okay. You can go to Starbucks at 5 a.m. There's a wonderful coffee shop that I love here, but they're closed on Sundays. They don't open till 7 o'clock. You know, they close at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But if I need coffee at 8, Starbucks is open. If I need coffee at 6, Starbucks is open. I need coffee at 8 o'clock at night, Starbucks is open, right?
It's true.
And Starbucks is a DSO. And so you have to build your practice to a certain degree, or even kind of evolve your practice to what the community wants, it's or true. What they're getting used to.
Exactly.
So anyway, sidebar there.
Yeah. Okay. So I worked 6 days a week for the four mm-hmm. years, and then decided, you know, that my practice was doing well enough that I could take the leap of faith and actually go out just on my own. Okay. So whenever I started.
So what did you do with those patients? Did he buy them? Did you just gift them?
Nope. Actually, because they were my patients, I basically gifted the ones mm-hmm. that wanted to stay. It was kind of a little bit older dynamic community. Sure. So they wouldn't necessarily travel.
Drive to Tampa, the big city.
Yeah. Oh, the big city.
Yeah.
10 miles outside of Tampa. Don't forget. And so.
That's the ocean.
Almost the ocean. And so I went ahead and went out on my own and started with it was just myself. I had one, in the very beginning, obviously, the 4 years before, one assistant and one front desk. And I did my own cleanings. I started literally from scratch whenever I started in 2011.
How long did you have to do that?
You know, I think probably in 4 months, I hired my first hygienist.
Okay.
And because I was only there the 3 days a week, but because of our hours, we were getting busy, especially on the Saturdays, you know? So I think that was when I hired my first hygienist, was really for the Saturday, and then kind of trickled in.
What would you say to somebody that's afraid to work those hours?
I'd say that you're crazy not to work those hours.
Would you say I'm crazy right now not to have those hours in an established practice?
In an established practice, I'd say that if you're offering at least one Saturday a month, that's a huge benefit to your patients. Okay. I feel like that now that I've, you know, been advanced in training and advanced now 13 years in practice, that still I don't necessarily want to give that up. I am now to my, as we now know, associate.
Well, we'll get to that. So let's not talk too much about that.
But it's, you know, it's, I, Saturdays is one of our very busiest days.
Okay.
It truly is. And if somebody misses and they don't give us a 48-hour appointment or
they
a
never get a
Saturday notice, they don't get a Saturday again.
I mean, we do that with our 7 a.m.s. Yeah,
that's
we
our
have 7 a.m. twice a week, Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if I always say that, you know, I've got a lot of longstanding girls now that have been with me for a while, and they've worked every Saturday that I've worked. Okay. And, you know, and if patients don't show up, it's also they're giving up time with their family. Yeah. They're giving up time in their lives to be there for our patients. And that shows a lot, of course, of my employees. Yeah. But the fact is that our patients have to value that as well.
So you believe, rightfully so, in my opinion, that young practices and established practices need to proactively consider expanded hours.
I do. You know, I've always been a worker.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of passion for dentistry. I have a lot of passion for life. And I've always felt that if you do right by your patients, they're going to do right by you. And I feel like that there's always that person who really can't get there from 9 to 5, you know, or 8 to 4 or whatever on a Monday through Thursday.
Yeah. It's called working people, by the way.
Exactly.
People with JOBs.
Ding, ding, ding. And so
it's like you trying to do an appointment at 4 o'clock. I mean, I can't do it, right?
Yeah. But we rehashed our schedule whenever I went straight to my practice. I'm off on Mondays. Okay. So we work the 2 Saturdays a month, and we're off on Sunday Mondays. Okay. And having Mondays off, our emergency day was always Tuesdays. So that was like it was a no-brainer for us to just say, well, let's just be off Sunday Monday instead. And so we're able, as, you know, providers, to get our stuff done on Mondays, and still Tuesday became our day.
All right. So let me set the stage.
Yeah.
Okay. You went to dental school. You're obviously a driven person. You're obviously smart, all those things, okay? You're probably going to be successful no matter how you started, where you started, quite frankly, okay? You had the vision to understand what the community wanted, to be a little bit proactive there. You started from essentially scratch, okay?
Yeah.
And then now give us a sense, and you don't have to necessarily share numbers, but give us a sense of the size of your practice today.
How many chairs, roughly, how many team members? So I started off with, like I said, just the three of us, and I had three of my five ops built out in the first building I went to. So after about a year, I'd already had the fourth one built out. After a year and a half, probably 2 years, I had the fifth one built out. And then in 2016 is when I bought my building.
Your new building.
Okay,
so 2016. So you had five operatories,
and I needed to expand.
My job is to make sure people understand what we're saying. Okay,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I apologize. So from essentially 2011 to 2015, five operatory practice. You grew to that. You got to a point where you thought you needed more space, so you actually needed more space. You probably went through some fears about buying a building, all of that. Correct. 2016. You said.
Yep.
You bought a new building, and how big is that?
That building's about 3,800 square feet.
Okay, and how many ops?
Eight ops.
Do you think you can outgrow that?
I've already outgrown it.
Okay. If you had said that to you we're only talking 3 years ago, right?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, and that's when I've actually been in my building 2 years.
Okay.
And there's no way that I thought that it was going to happen that way.
Okay. What's been the cause of that growth, you think?
Our community. Okay. We're active in the community. We're right beside the high school.
Hang back up. It's not your community. It's your activeness in the community. It's a big difference.
That's true.
Because we all live in a place where we have community, correct?
Yes, that's true.
It's how well we choose to engage and put ourselves out there.
Yeah.
Right. And really, that's the hardest thing as humans for most of us is to put ourselves out there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, for me, like when I started speaking, it didn't come to me. I put myself out there.
Right.
And then things happened. Right.
Yeah.
So you put yourself out in the community.
Put myself out in the community. Our patients started talking about us.
Did you ask them to talk about you?
Probably not, but probably yes. Okay. You know, it's one of those things that tell your friends and family about me.
Yes.
You know,
something so simple. It's not begging,
yeah.
Is it?
And no, we're a beginning practice and we want
to
be
I remember
here.
I used to feel like it was begging to ask for referrals. Yeah. You know, you wanted them to think you were just so busy. It's just you wanted to fake this thing.
Yeah.
But people want to help you.
Yeah, they do. And now, you know, that I have patients that I've had for the last, even at my other practice that came over mm-hmm. and that have been my patients for 12 years now.
Right.
They're like, I just can't believe you've grown this into
and
what
they're
you
so
have.
Proud of you. So they're like,
yeah,
you're like the little
exactly,
child, right?
Yeah. And so that's always fun to see. But now I have 11 employees mm-hmm. And associate doctor that I added a year ago. And we just continue to rock and roll. And at this point in time, I actually still own 1,000 square feet in my building.
Empty.
Yes.
So you can expand.
It's not empty. But a doctor, a medical doctor is in
so
that
you can kick them out.
Practice. Yeah. So I would kick them out. But,
yeah. So what's his name? His or her name?
Dr. Gittinger.
Dr. Gittinger?
Yes,
I think
get out of there. No.
Your time's coming, just so you know, okay? The days are numbered.
She probably isn't listening either,
okay,
but thank goodness.
Okay, all right. So, all right. So that's a good story.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot to learn there. I would love for people to get back in touch with you and to kind of go in deeper. I know you'd love to do that. You like to speak. You're a trainer. You do a lot of stuff on the technology side, and there's more for you out there. I know that. You just got to put yourself out there a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. I want to talk to you about, you said a key word to me. You said associate.
Yes.
Okay. And I firmly believe that everyone listening needs to get an associate in their practice. I think the future of private practice dentistry, non-DSO corporate dentistry, is going to be multi-doctor.
Okay.
Whether they all own, whether it's a partnership, whether it's an associate, whatever it is, it's multi-doctor. The cost of owning a practice today is astronomical. Technology mandatory, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, depending how deep you want to go in.
Right.
Okay, and then that's just the way it is in our profession now. And it's always best to kind of subsidize that with multiple providers.
Yeah.
So when did you realize you need an associate?
I didn't.
Okay.
So it just kind of happened. And it was something that I had thought about. But when your practice is your baby and you've done everything by yourself this whole entire time. So I had been 12 years. Everything was mine. All my patients are mine. They're, you know, I've grown this from this. It's mine. It's so hard to give that away or to have someone that just is going to come in and, you know, are they going to like her or him as much? Are they going to trust her or him as much? Are they going to be okay with
Keep
them?
Talking.
Yeah. And so when we decided or when I decided to have an associate, it was a happen chance. It really was.
You weren't looking.
I really wasn't looking. I knew that I was speaking more.
Were you afraid of an associate?
A little bit, just because of the fact that again, it was this. My practice was my baby. So to leave my practice or to like.
But didn't you think that was going to limit you not getting somebody else?
Yeah, I did. And that's why I was closed yet still open-minded about it. I was very.
You weren't active-minded
seeking.
About it.
Exactly.
Like, hey, if the certain person happened to just drop by, knock on the door, said, hey, hire me.
That's exactly how it happened, basically. So, I mean, it really was.
But that doesn't.
I put some feelers out, and that's.
And how'd you put feelers out?
So with my reps, mainly, you know. And
so the value of a relationship with manufacturer reps, distributor reps, all of that stuff?
Any of the reps.
Incredible.
Yes. Yeah. And because they've known me for.
And they know who's out there. They know who's not looking, because the people looking for jobs kind of, hey, don't tell anybody, but I'm looking.
Right.
And that's how you find people.
Yeah. And the personalities, you know, my reps know my personality. My reps have been my reps forever. And they've seen also the growth of the practice. They know how busy we are.
So trying to save pennies on supplies and equipment doesn't necessarily make you successful?
No.
No. I would argue that it inhibits you from being successful.
Yeah. I think that, you know, if you nickel and dime absolutely everything, you can't see the bigger overall picture.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, whenever you're looking towards the future and you have goals to be able to build upon and things that you want. I had wanted to speak for quite some time, and I was approached and was able at that opportunity. It was the perfect time. I had just built my building. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, my building's been here for a year. I've got all the technology, you know, we're rocking and rolling. I've got a great team, and I had the opportunity to do that. And then whenever Dr. Goodwin came on board, it's like, I even have more of an opportunity to do it just because of the fact that I know that my patients are still going to be well taken care of.
So what an associate does is it creates flexibility in your life.
100%.
Whether you choose to use that flexibility for business growth, personal growth, dreaming, family growth, marijuana, whatever it is, right?
Well, in Florida, it's coming.
You know, but it gets you to choose that capability, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what I can't, you know, I tell people, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you do big cases in a PPO-driven practice? I mean, 80% of my practice is PPO, like in-network PPO. Choose me because I'm on the list. But yet we do quite a bit of larger cases. And I tell everybody, you know, because I create the space in my schedule to do it. And they say, how do you do that? I said, I hired an associate. And I created that gap so I can rebuild a practice within a practice.
It's very true.
Have you seen that happen for you?
I have, definitely. And now Dr. Goodwin and I don't really share a lot of patients. Mm-hmm. So my patients are still quote unquote my patients. She'll do hygiene checks. Mm-hmm. We're growing her practice too.
Okay. But she's an associate, not a space share.
She's not a space share, correct? Okay. So it's been an interesting transition because she started only with me for a day and a half, and now I'm only by myself on Wednesdays.
Okay. So she's there 3 days a week now.
She's now 4 days a week. 4 days a week.
4 days a week.
Okay. And so because of the way that it's transitioned in this last year, it's kind of just all happened organically, to be quite honest.
Have you been able to take more time off?
I have been.
Have you seen a drop in your income?
Not at all.
Have you seen an increase in your income?
Probably yes.
Probably yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen that you're less stressed at work?
I'm not a stressed person anyway. Okay. I'm kind of blessed that way. But I feel like that if I'm not there, I don't have to worry about who my patients are going to see when I'm not there.
You can take a vacation.
Yeah.
And not worry.
Yes.
You can take an extended vacation.
Right. And I don't have to worry about my cell phone ringing or, you know, the girls calling me and saying this or that. But
what would you tell somebody who's got a... I'm just using up fake numbers here, okay? Million one practice, two hygienists, they're booked out a little bit. They've been doing this 10, 12 years, and like, do I need an associate, do not need an associate? Retrospectively, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to get an associate tomorrow.
Okay.
Reason being is that I haven't worked any harder. Actually, I've worked less this year, as we were just talking about. My numbers are actually, $100,000 more than what I was last year, but I've taken
more time off.
And that's not even including her numbers.
Right.
So, her numbers are kind separate. Of her numbers separate. Yeah. And so it's just with the integration of obviously technology.
You have the flexibility to learn it and implement it and coach your team and train your team and do the cases. And when somebody says, hey, can we do this week? You can say yes.
Exactly.
It's all the unwritten things that you just don't think about.
And I think whenever you don't know the unknown, and I think that's why people get hesitant and that's why people get scared. And I think that if you have faith, like I said, it was just one of those things that I'm like, if it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. But planning is always good too. Yeah. I mean, never going to say not to plan, but when the right person comes along, if it's the right person, then it kind of meshes well.
I take a little bit of a different tack than that. I say we got to make it happen, and you just keep doing it until you find the right person.
Yeah.
You take chances.
And I was lucky because I found mine first off.
Yeah, I did not. I did not. But I have mine now.
And that's... Yeah.
and that's all that matters. But I was, it's perseverance.
Yeah.
Right. I knew this is what I needed to get to the level I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of going through the pain. All right. I couldn't have you on without getting a little commercial from you.
Okay.
So honestly, how has the sleep apnea class been from us?
All right. So I started in June. So last month I came to Dr. Elliott's class. She's an amazing person.
She's fantastic.
And she is a great speaker. Yeah. She's witty and smart and talented in all of the things that she does.
And she's down to earth.
She is 100% down to earth. And I think that's why I enjoy her so much, because I feel like we're a lot alike. And but learning the sleep apnea implementation, Chelsea and I, my assistant and I, were just talking about that. And so Chelsea and I were talking about how, you know, bringing my assistant to the courses obviously has made a complete difference, because we're able to get on board together. So when I told Chelsea we're coming to this class, and then in a month down the road, we're going to go to Hutan's medical billing class. Yeah. And then, you know, the next day we're going to do Sully's 3D class, because we have all the technology. I feel like that once we get back, you know, we're a implementation practice that we're going to be able to hit the ground running. And because you guys have the availability of giving what you have given as far as the class associations of, hey, medical billing with sleep apnea, you know, a lot of people, the first medical billing class that I took 4 years ago, whenever I got my Galileos, it was kind of like,
overload.
A complete overload. Yeah. And so doing it the way that we have done with this, it makes sense, even though obviously, and I say obviously, some of it's repetitive, but it's great because
we
needed a repetitive, you know, even though we learned it a month and a half ago, it's not been repetitive to where you're like, oh my gosh, this is the exact same course. It's not at all. It's the same. It's
like watching a movie again.
Exactly. I mean, you know? And it's not even, it's watching a movie without just maybe hearing the sound without watching the actual screen, because you hear completely different things whenever you already know a little bit about it. And I think that's the big thing. But I've enjoyed you guys. You guys are all great speakers.
Thank
you guys
you.
Have a very, very good chemistry between all of you.
Is it nice seeing my team in action? And 100%. Being able to talk to them.
You guys are so positive. You've always been that way. I mean, ever since.
And somewhat real about it. You know, I hope my team will tell you the goods and bads about what's happening.
You know, and I think that that's part of it, is that anytime you're a trainer, you know, you have to, you can't stand up there and act like you're Superman or Superwoman. And it's unfortunate, because people do. And I think that's one thing that I take into my trainings that I learned from you guys.
But you know,
as
it's
trainers.
Not Superman or Superwoman anymore. It's Epic Man, Epic Woman.
You're right. It's true. Right here. I'm looking right at the Epic Man.
So what'd you think about the sales funnel? Have you ever thought about that way?
So yes and no. Okay. And it's really true, because it's funny, right before that came on, Chelsea and I were talking about, you know, what's going to be our goal before the end of the year. And Chelsea threw out the number of 50.
Yeah.
I mean, that was her. And she is, again, team member that's completely on board, that will guide. She's a leader. And I think that that's what you have to have in a team. Mm. But once you have a team member that understands that whole funnel, that this is what we need to do to go where we're going, that it's going to benefit the practice, it's going to benefit everyone involved, and it's going to benefit our patients, needless to say. Right. And that's the greater good right there. But that, you know, learning things like that, like just putting numbers into your head.
The exercise.
It's
because we don't do it very often.
No, we don't.
We think about it. We think it out ahead. But when you put it on paper, and to me, the power is when you put it on paper in front of the team members and they see where you're getting this number and how you're getting it. They start to get the reality. Oh, this is possible.
This is possible.
Like they see it. They begin to, it's tangible.
That's true.
And that's why I believe in the sales funnel so importantly. Whatever procedure you want to do more of, you got to develop a sales funnel, and you just got to work through the numbers. You got to reverse engineer success.
It's true. And you have to also order a whiteboard from Amazon.
if you notice, there's whiteboards everywhere in my life. Everywhere in my life. Down here, my office, you know, all my walls are whiteboards.
All your walls are white right now. We could write on them completely.
Yeah, and up in the training center in my office, everything. All right. So what are the challenges that Lindsay McCaslin is facing?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
I think the biggest challenge right now in the practice is we have a new hygienist. Yeah. And it's just getting her completely on board. Most of my girls have been with me for quite some time. You always have patient challenges, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the patients are always going to challenge you too a little bit. Challenges are time. Mm-hmm. You know, do you start looking at, you know, should we expand into that other place, you know, and yes, those type of things, right? I knew that was going to be your answer. Yes. And so there's, I think if you're not growing, you're not being challenged.
Well, listen, you have to grow 3-5% per year or you're going backwards.
You're exactly correct.
Cost of inflation.
It's true.
Bottom line.
Yep.
Team members want and need to make more. Things cost more. Life costs more. 3-5% per year growth or you're going backwards.
Yep. And I think the biggest challenge really is team and everybody just meshing together.
So people talk about team. How do you create a culture?
I think that once the team sees your vision as a doctor, you have to have a vision of your practice. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, like I said, I told you even previously that if you do right by your patients, they'll do right by you.
And if you do right by your team, they'll do right by you.
You're exactly correct.
Yeah. And I live on the motto. I learned it in fifth grade, I think it was. Fifth grade, I remember one of my teachers, Mrs. Carr. She was my English teacher, I believe, in the fifth grade, I'm not Christian, and you know, she handed me this little wooden coin back when you could do this kind of stuff in school, and it said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you," and it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe that you treat people the way you want to be treated, and you tell people the truth, and you be transparent with them.
It's so true.
Okay, and tell them what you need of them.
Yeah,
and they'll tell you yes or no.
Exactly. And as we did that, you know, today, it's if you can get your team on board to whatever it is your vision is, and if you can ask your team what their vision is, I think that's also very important. You know, what do they want? What are they seeing?
We lose touch with reality as high income earners.
Yeah.
You know, I remember clearly, I was trying to develop a bonus plan for my team, and I was thinking, God, how do I help them make $2,000 more per month? And one of my team members said to me, what happened to 200-300? That would be a big deal for
me. Yeah.
And I was like, God, I never thought, because I don't even think that way. Right.
Right.
And so sometimes you just got to ask them what they want, what they're thinking, what do they think would be fair?
And I think it's really important to occasionally ask your team what's great about our practice, but also what are the things you hate about our practice? Because I think that's the main thing that I learned about my uncle's practice. I love him obviously to death, but there were certain things that I was like, when I get my own practice, there is no way,
your culture,
shape, or form that I'm doing this.
Generation gap.
Yeah.
You know,
technology obviously is everything. All different. Yeah.
Male, female, all that kind of stuff.
But when you have team members that are invested in your practice, they're going to tell you, I love this about our practice, but I'd love to see this change. And then I did that challenge of what would you like to see about our practice change? And then I made them give me solutions back. They couldn't just say, I don't like this.
Yeah. They got to have solutions.
They have
don't
to
tell
have
me
solutions.
The problem without the solution.
Exactly. Right. And so I think keeping that open mindset, you know, keeping obviously team meetings, keeping the communication open, I think that's the best thing that you can do for your teams.
Absolutely. So we have the segment, it's Ask T-Bone. You got any questions for me? Anything I can help you with?
Well, first of all, I wanted to know what color you dyed your beard.
Okay. No, that's okay. Listen, I don't have any hair on my head anymore. I'm male pattern baldness. Okay. I go to a barbershop, like an old school, like African-American barbershop. I get my head shaved and my face shaved every week. Okay. Like, you guys do your nails and stuff. All right. I do my face and head, okay? And I was there, and I was just asking him about things. I was looking around, seeing what he got, you know, because they don't have any signs on the wall saying what services they offer, which I kind of tell him it's dumb, but, you know, I just go with it. And he says, you know, I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, man, we dye hairs. I'm like, could you dye my... I was jokingly saying, could you dye my goatee? And he said, sure, man, what do you want to do? I said, well, all right, let's try it. I said, don't make it jet black. Okay, I don't want it to be jet black. So he's like, all right, I'll pick a color in the middle, and we did it, and it looked black to me. Okay,
it was black,
and I felt self conscious about it. The good news is, a couple of weeks later, it was gray again.
Ta-da. Yeah, so, there you are.
But it wasn't jet black.
It wasn't jet black.
Yeah, it wasn't jet black.
All right, well,
that's good.
Just black.
Appreciate
not jet
that.
Black.
Listen, I'll go with it.
I think that my I've known you more and more as the days have gone by. Needless to say, but I think I've always obviously been very impressed by what you've done.
That's
you know?
Amazing. Thank
and,
you.
And so I think that whenever you got out of dental school, did you think that this was this your vision? Was this, as we were talking about visions of practices and teams and all those different things, were you just somebody that wanted a dental practice, or was this what you really thought things were going to happen, the way they were going
to
happen?
My vision was to have a business, okay? My initial vision when I got out of school was to open multiple offices, create like a franchise, whatever it was. And then I got into practice and I got hit in the chin, and it wasn't as easy as I thought. I was very open about sharing my stuff at the time, Dental Town, which has been unbelievably important in my career. Howard Fran, Dental Town, unbelievably important. And I shared stuff, and I would read articles. I just became a sponge, probably because I graduated in the bottom third of my dental school class. So I didn't sponge up anything there, so I had to sponge it up in the real life. And I shared, put myself out there, got invited, wanted to be an educator. Enjoyed it, enjoyed helping others succeed. There was a little bit of an ego involved in it of being able to do that. Certainly, I'm not going to lie about that. And one thing led to another. And it turned out that I have a business, not multiple practices, but multiple businesses.
That's true.
You know, and so I always knew I was going to do business. I always had the arrogance/confidence, whatever you want to call it, that I was going to be okay, because reasonable personality, reasonable drive, reasonable everything, that I was willing to work hard.
And that was one of your best attributes, I'm sure.
Yeah, perseverance. I just confidently know that I was going to make it. I was going to be successful no matter what I did. I definitely hit some bumps along the way and would hit some bumps along the way. But did I envision all this? No. Yeah. You can't. But I've always... always said, well, I live by a philosophy of replace yourself.
Yeah.
And whatever I do, you see it. You see it. Yeah. We talked about shared about my assistant Liz, Meredith, Whitney, myself with my associate, myself with Sully, Hutan, Aaron. Yeah. You know, all of these things are the conception about replacing yourself so that you can help others. But also it can free me to focus on whatever comes. And maybe nothing comes, but I always believe that you create emptiness. Like I remember I wanted to add another operatory in my practice, and my Patterson rep says, you don't need another operatory. I said, I do. He says, but you don't need it. You don't use all the ones you have. I go, listen, I'll walk by that operatory every day, single day, and be like, I spend money on this. What do I got to do to fix it? You know, I believe when you create a gap, when you fill a hole, when you create a problem, you find a solution to that problem. So that's been it. And I will tell you, anybody that wants to be a speaker, a trainer, you have got to put yourself out there. I would argue that it's easier than ever to be a speaker and trainer. It's harder than ever to distinguish good from not so good, from fakers and posers, from not so, you know, from good people. But it's just got to put yourself out there. That's what I would say. Lindsay, how can people get in touch with you?
Well,
can they slide into your DMs?
They can.
Okay.
They can.
What? Which mediums?
I'm on Facebook, Expressions Dentistry. I'm on Instagram, Lindsay McCaslin. Of course, through our Expressions Dentistry website, I'm a mentor as well, Henry Schein trainer too. Okay. So there's a lot of different avenues, I guess, to get hold of me.
All right. Do you have an email address?
I do. It's L McCaslin, DMD. So LMCCASLINDMD at yahoo.com.
In the Tampa area. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
Always.
All right.
Hey everybody, T-Bone here, and I'm a day late, but not a dollar short. So listen, this week I wanted to take a kind of a short break to get some back-end stuff going on the podcast, because we've got some great episodes lined up for the rest of the year, and I just needed a little bit of time to get some notes and images and everything done for those, to get those organized. So I'm just going to talk about some things going on in my life, and I really didn't want to miss a week. So let's get started. So number one, I got a favor to ask each of you. Each of you probably listen to multiple dental podcasts. Of course, the T-Bone Speaks podcast is your favorite and first that you listen to. But I want to make you aware, on January 24th and 25th, 2020, in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, there will be the Voices of Dentistry meeting. Now, for those of you that don't know, these podcasts essentially don't make any money. There's no way to sell ads or charge people to listen to them. So all of us that do these podcasts are doing them because, quite frankly, we just love dentistry and we love sharing. And for some of us, me included, we want to certainly promote our courses and seminars, but want to drive great value. So my good friends, Alan Mead and Jason Lipscomb from the Dental Hacks podcast, have started this meeting. This will be the fourth year of it, and we really need your help in showing up, and I want to be part of it. I'll be there. I'm going to spend a couple of days there, and I'm not speaking this year, which is awesome, so I get to spend time with everybody, and I'll just be roaming around. So January 24th to 25th, 2020, in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, the Voices of Dentistry podcast. And I want to give a special thanks. I've been very fortunate in this profession to have done some amazing things and to have learned so much and earned so much. And, I want to give a thanks to each of you for being a loyal listener and referring your friends and telling people about it, and the engagement that you give us through asktbone.com or through social media direct messages or through emails to info@3d-dentists.com. I appreciate all that engagement, and I do want to remind you that we do live in a review economy where reviews are the currency of the future, and reviews on iTunes help our podcast out tremendously. Reviews on Google help out our podcast and our practices tremendously, and just like each of you want more reviews for your practice, I want more reviews for our podcast so that we can reach more people, have iTunes feature us, and help us get ranked in some of these podcast reviews that are coming out now. So I would greatly appreciate it if you could do that. So I just came back from attending an Indian wedding. My wife's first cousin / sister. For those of you that understand Indian families, there's no such thing as a cousin. We're all brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts. So we went to an Indian wedding in Austin, Texas, and I don't know how many of you have been to an Indian wedding, but they are a spectacle. They are a gathering of family members, and my wife's family is very large. There's about 80 of them, like literally brothers and sisters and first cousins. There's 80 of them, and they all live in Fort Lauderdale area, and so we all went to Austin, and it was phenomenal. It was great seeing family members I haven't seen in a while. It was great catching up with people. It was great. It was just great. Weddings, something about weddings that are awesome. But, you know, listen, my personality doesn't love getting dressed up, doesn't love doing all the, you know, the schmoozing and talking and all that stuff. But so there's parts of it I don't love, but the weddings are fantastic. So if you ever get a chance to go to an Indian wedding, I would encourage you to beg, borrow, or steal any way that you can to get to one. They're really a great sight to see, especially if you can go to a semi or traditional Indian wedding. They're awesome. My wife had to take a solid suitcase. We argued about that. Big suitcase full of Indian clothes. They're just so ornate and so colorful. They're beautiful. And it's amazing. So if you can go to her Facebook page, Mona Gupta Agarwal, you can see all the pictures. I didn't post much. I'm trying not to post so much on Facebook personally, but they're great. And it's 4 days. It was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Each day required a different outfit in the evening. Saturday required two different outfits. And it's just a little outside my comfort zone for all of those things, but they're just fantastic. And another reminder, we are holding what's called the next seminar. So many of you have talked to me, asked me questions about how we do case acceptance and how we kind of get some of the cases or work through some of the cases in our practice. And this seminar I'm doing with Sully Sullivan, and it's really it's going to be a fantastic one-day seminar. Perfect for you and your team members. We're going to talk about case acceptance, firm financial arrangements, the patient experience, not talking about how we treat patients, but how we methodically bring patients through the practice with a specific goal in mind, how we build team leadership, and some of the clinical things that we're doing in our practices to allow us to grow and to allow us to be different and allow us to be happy in what we're doing. So we're going to have two of these seminars in the first half of the year, February 28th, 2020 in Nashville, Tennessee, May 8th, 2020 in Chicago, Illinois. And all you have to do is go to 3D-dentist.com/next. To register for the seminars. They're going to be fantastic. We've made them very affordable. It's like $300 a person in packs of, I think, packs of four or five. And each additional team member is $350. And in fact, we're making it so that if you want to come alone as a dentist, it's more expensive than to come as a dentist and your team members. So it's an important seminar. I really, really want your support for that. Now, let's talk about what's going on in my practice. We are going to be, I'm going to be calling more consumer-centric again. We're going to be more patient-centric. We're getting DSOs in North Carolina there. There's like eight or nine of them coming to Raleigh in the next 6 months. And I'm, you know, it's not that I'm scared, but I'm also knowing that we have to change our game and we have to update what we're doing. So this year we went through a renovation in our practice, updated our equipment, updated some of the aesthetics of the office. We still have a few things left to do that will get done early next year. But the other thing that we're doing is we're going to do some hour expansions. We're going to expand our hours on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We're going to go to a 7-to-6 schedule with no lunches, and our team members are not going to work more. I'm not asking anybody to work 11 hours a day. But instead, we're going to go a 7-to-3 schedule and a 10-to-6 schedule. So we're going to split up the team members and the doctors so that way we can accommodate more patients. And what it basically is going to do is going to add 3 hours a day of patient care and availability and multiply that by 3 days a week, and that's 9 hours. So basically, we're going to have an additional day of time available in the practice without increasing team costs, without increasing any of those things. But instead, what we're doing is we're being more aware and available for our patients, and we're making the office less hectic by having so many people here at all times so that we can have, you know, certainly we'll have a busy time between 10 and 3 when everybody's there, but now we can have a little bit lighter time and 7 to 10. So some of the bigger cases that I and my associate partners do can be done during those lighter hours where there's not as many hygienists or as many people or as many things going on in the practice to make that better. So I want you to encourage you here in November to take a look at, you know, are you consumer friendly in your hours? Are you just 8 to 5 Monday through Thursday? Are you saying, hey, I'm open Fridays now a little bit? But, you know, what we found in our practice was that 7 o'clock hour was massively popular. And so we're trying to get 7 o'clock hours at least 4 out of the 5 days of the week. And then over time, we'll get it on Thursday as well. I'll figure it out. And then, so just keep in mind what you can do there. For Thanksgiving and Christmas, for Thanksgiving, we're taking a Caribbean cruise. My wife has promised me that I don't have to get off the boat. I'm not a big fan of the Caribbean beaches and dolphin experiences and Diamonds Directs and Senior Frogs and all of that stuff. I want to go on the cruise to relax, to enjoy the big, big boats. We're going on, I can't remember which boat it is, but it's massive, and all of that. So I'm totally looking forward to that. So if I look dark in some of my videos, it's because I've gotten a tan from laying out on the cruise ship. And then for Christmas, we don't actually have any plans this year. We were planning on going skiing, but we had trouble renting a house for the 30 family members that were going to go. And I refused to stay in a hotel, not because I don't like hotels. I like hotels. But to me, family vacations, you all stay in a home together. You hang out, you cook together, you eat together, you know, watch TV together. And hotels aren't very conducive to that. My plans to go to India for the Christmas didn't work out because my brother and parents are going at Thanksgiving. It was nice of them to invite us. They didn't do that. So Ravi, I don't like that you didn't invite us. And then I may need to be at the office a little bit more this Christmas than in years past. So I want to, you know, give myself a chance to be available and flexible for that. So, you know, we've got a lot going on in our family. My son is playing basketball, eighth grade basketball. My youngest son, Abby, started playing football this year. He got a concussion. I wanted to take him out. My wife let him get back in. It's a point of contention in the practice. My daughter, she fell off a bicycle and broke 4 fingers in her right hand. May require surgery on her ring finger in the right hand. We're going to take a look at that, I think, December 4th or 5th to see if that is true. So there's just a lot going on. You know, life is busy, but life is very full. So I'm grateful for that. And then let's talk about the podcast. So we've got a great end to the year, something like that. We've got a great ending for the year planned. We've got Dr. Ross Nash coming on. We've got the Implant Ninja coming on. Myself and Meredith are talking about, you know, things that you can do to help build and attract a great team members. I've got Rachel Wall coming in to talk about hygiene, not perio, but building a good hygiene department. I got Brian McGoo talking about oral sedation, which if you're not doing oral sedation, you need to be. And then I'm going to have an episode. It's going to be a rather long episode with my brother. And we're just going to talk about growing up together and, you know, him becoming an oral surgeon, me being a dentist and just life and stuff like that. And then I'm making plans to do a recording with my father. And I'm super excited about that. I'm going to bring Sully in to be the moderator. And so that we can do a nice episode with him. And then hopefully we'll have that ready by the first of the year. I would love to launch the 2020 with my dad on the podcast. But so we got lots of plans for the rest of the year. Got great episodes coming up, all good information, some great information, some good information, some things that are probably not so fun to talk about. But yeah, that's part of podcasts. So thanks for listening to me on your drive to work, during your workout. Oh, and by the way, I've been working out 3 times a week in the morning at 6 o'clock. I've been going to the gym in my house. I don't know if most of you would call that a workout. You might call my workout your warm-up. But hey, I'm getting started. I'm trying to get healthy again. I'm trying to get back to my 2012-13 shape. I was probably in the best shape of my life back then. I had lost a lot of weight, did some running. My knees aren't up for the running now, so I'm trying to do some walking and then a little bit more, some weights, light weights. I don't know what it's really called. Resistance. I don't know. I just do what the hell they tell me to do. So thank you again. Leave us a review. Please do engage with us. come to the next seminar and make sure you attend the Voices of Dentistry. And you can learn about Voices of Dentistry at voicesofdentistry.com, January 24th, 25th, 2020 in Phoenix, Arizona. And that's me signing out. Until next week, thank you to each of you.